This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Really wasn't aware of it, but... you know, obviously feels good. I mean, just get the win tonight felt good. How hard we battled after the first period. And I've been fortunate. A lot of good people around me, you know, that have helped throughout the years, and coaches, and unbelievable fan support here in this building. And I really wasn't aware of it. So it was kind of a surprise at the end of the game.
That is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Sabres win yesterday over Ottawa. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off this week. Nate Geary is in. Sun is up. Still cold.
They just put that mulch outside, too.
Yeah, what does snow do to mulch? Anything?
I don't know. I'm not a mulch guy.
They did put mulch out there?
Oh, yeah, yesterday.
They did?
I was just watching them. They were just doing it like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Today?
They had the big hose they were spraying it out there.
Didn't you see the big pile
in
the parking lot? Oh, yeah. There's a big pile of mulch in the parking lot.
No. It's dark when I drive in. I didn't see it. Where is it? Like in the back of the parking lot?
Yeah.
There's a big pile of mulch?
I mean, it's huge. I'm not sure they could use all the mulch, to be honest.
Isn't it a little early to be mulching?
I'm not a mulch guy.
When's the proper time to begin mulching? I mean, I guess here our building would tell you that it's March 26th when there's still snow on the ground.
Well, there wasn't.
When they started. They would have known there was a chance, though.
Sure. It's March. Should know there's always a chance it could snow.
It kind of also depends what you're going to plant in the mulch. If you're going to plant stuff in it, you know, you don't want to put it down until after you plant it. But if you're not planting, you can kind of do it whenever, because there's already trees and bushes out there.
There are. It's really aesthetic more than anything.
Mulch?
Yeah.
I think it's more than that. It helps things grow, doesn't it?
In certain cases, it's more than that. But in other cases,
it's mostly...
it could just be decorative.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's
like
decorative.
They have different
colors. The color is better and makes the garden look better and cleaner.
It smells weird. Fresh mulch.
Well, yeah. Weird. Yeah.
I'm
because of what it is.
The smell's not that bad, actually. I like the smell.
Okay.
It's not that bad. I did landscaping
not bad
for 4 years, though. So.
Okay, right. If you're used to it, then
I've never landscaped.
Like,
never
for me, having, you know, doing it at our house for 2-3 years now, 4 years now, it's, you know, I'm used to it. But the first couple times you're mulching, it's like, yeah, this smells terrible. But yeah, you get used to it very quickly.
I mean, I used to have to mulch, you know, when I lived at my parents' house. And it was like, go out there and do something. I'm like, all right, well, buy some mulch. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Not a mulch guy, though.
The chat wants to name Josh official title of the show Secretary of Mulch. I'm into that.
I will humbly accept
that title. 4 years of landscaping experience over here. I mean, he's ready to go on it.
He's qualified.
Yeah.
He would say he's the most qualified of us three for
so
the
in,
position.
In those 4 years, were you ever doing it this early?
No, I did a lot more of the lawn mowing and like weed whacking side of things. So like we would almost like prep sometimes. Like we'd prep the flower beds and then the mulch guys would come in. Yeah. There was a few times we got to move stuff around and things like that. But, you know, it was a little bit of, it was more so on the aesthetic side of things, but, and sometimes the prep too. But yeah.
All right.
Good times.
Well, good morning. 803-0550 is the phone number as we get ready for warmer weather eventually.
So we dive into the mulch talk.
Yeah, all in on mulch talk. So was looking playing around with a mock draft during the break. And the do you have a go-to site that you do this with?
I've been using the Pro Football Network one.
Okay. I use the Pro Football Focus one.
Okay.
Because you can slow it down however you want. They they offer you trades. You can offer trades. Yep. And it gives you like percentage of trade acceptance. So I literally stopped after the number one pick. Because if I were Cleveland, I really don't know what I would do. I really don't know what I would do if I were Cleveland. Like Jonathan Peterlin, who we had on earlier, he's got an opinion. He wants them to pick Sanders.
Yeah.
Pick the quarterback. He even said his co-host has an opinion. Doesn't want Sanders. Don't pick a quarterback. Mm. I have no idea what I would want them to do if I were in Cleveland.
If I was a Cleveland fan, I don't know that I what I would want is I would have wanted the head coach and general manager fired. But
yeah,
to even just start this off, because I guess if I were a Cleveland Browns fan, I don't know that I would want these guys selecting a quarterback. Like I don't know if I would want them to pick a quarterback. Like, do you feel good about Andrew Berry being in year six and not having built really a winner or a consistent winner or a contender to pick the quarterback when I think he's probably going to be gone?
That's right. If you're allowing him to pick this quarterback, knowing if you win five games, he's getting fired, then why are you letting him pick the quarterback?
Yeah.
Which is why is he employed in the first place?
Right.
So I get that. I get that.
We're asking good questions here.
But I'm picking two? Well, I guess if you're bad, you should expect to be at the top of the draft again next year. So maybe it's not that different. It wouldn't be Sanders for me, though. Like, I might talk myself into Dart. I'd have to do more work on him. But I'm not a Shedeur Sanders guy. It has nothing to do with his personality or whatever. I just don't think a quarterback that has limited athleticism, that takes as many sacks as he does and doesn't have a very strong arm, is where I want to be putting my chips in as an NFL franchise. So here, let's play this out. I got it open. Pro Football Focus. I got the mock draft open. Give us some football music. Let's go and see what they're going to do. We'll get to the Bills. How will this play out? Were the Bills picking at 30? So the Browns take Travis Hunter.
That's what you want? That's what you're gonna do here?
No, that's what their PFF is simulating.
Okay.
So what do the Giants do with 3 then?
Giants take Sanders.
Giants take Abdul Carter. The Patriots take Jahdae Barron, corner from Texas.
Wow.
That's really high for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of randomness to this.
Yeah.
There's a random meter, actually. You can move it. I put it at like a third. All right. We've got the Jaguars taking an offensive lineman. Ahmed Membo at number 5
Missouri.
Overall.
Missouri. Yep.
Raiders. What would you have the Raiders doing?
Genty.
Ashton Genty is the pick. Yep. Pete Carroll loves investing in running backs.
He sure does.
That also, for fantasy, is that his best spot? No. Dallas.
Fantasy?
Dallas would be his best spot.
I might argue Chicago's the best spot. Fantasy. But.
Okay, yes. I like that one too. All three would be pretty good because he'd be the clear number one starter. All right, number 7, the Jets take Shedeur Sanders. Number 7. Is quarterback still that live for them in the draft after they sign Fields? I guess it could be.
They don't have their quarterback of the future on the roster.
They only signed him to a 2-year deal, right? And it wouldn't be much to bench him.
No.
If he had 5 terrible games at the start.
It wouldn't be anything really to bench him. No.
Okay. Yeah. So Sanders to the Jets at number 7. Carolina picks Tyler Warren, tight end from Penn State at number 8.
Okay.
He's a weird prospect, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's mocked all over the place.
Yeah, but he's not like a traditional tight end. He's dangerous, but I don't know.
He is not.
He's lined up at fullback maybe a lot. but he like runs routes from there. He runs routes from everywhere. So I don't know. I don't know how to judge him yet.
Me either.
Read more about him. Not that the reason I haven't is he's a tight end and the Bills are, you know, obviously not doing that. Will Campbell, tackle, goes to the Saints at number 9.
Okay.
Mason Graham, defensive lineman, to the Bears at number 10. San Francisco picks a linebacker, Jihad Campbell at 11.
Okay.
Ooh, little early for this pick, but may I present to you an organization that would pick a guy that is going to go 15 picks above them? Because I now believe that they are one of the most foolish organizations in the league, the way they're run.
Where are we on?
Dallas at number 12.
Who they're taking?
Yeah.
Okay. It's got to be... It's got to be kind of controversial.
Yes.
If you're talking about it here.
I think if this happened on draft day, everybody would go, already?
O'Marian Hampton?
No.
Is it the tight end from Michigan?
No. It's a receiver.
Are they going to take Matt Golden over?
Matthew Golden.
They took him over McMillan?
At number 12.
Okay.
Most, I normally see him at the end of the first round, sometimes early second round.
I could see them falling in love with his speed, though.
All right, so number 12. Right. If there's ever a player that does go 15 picks before he should, isn't it always a speed receiver?
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew Golden goes at number 12. The Dolphins at number 13 take Tet McMillan, the receiver
from
Arizona.
I would love nothing more than the Dolphins to take another receiver, a boundary receiver. Like, I would,
yeah.
I would pay good money for that. Good money.
Yeah, he's going to be the third target in their offense, their first-round pick. That Please. Would definitely signal that they're going into the final year with Tyreek Hill. Not that they're not the same player at
all. It would also
but
signal that they do not care about the health of their quarterback whatsoever.
Yeah. Mike Green, an edge rusher, goes to the Colts at number 14.
Marshall, good player.
Will Johnson, corner from Michigan, number 15 to Atlanta.
Okay.
Here's where I'm going to have to start learning how to pronounce some of these guys. Donovan. I'm going to try this one out. Ezekiel. No. I couldn't even make it halfway through.
Aziraku.
Thank you.
That's a best guess.
Boston College. That sounds right. That's 16. That is Arizona. Edge rusher. Then Cincinnati on the clock at 17. Jelon Walker. From Georgia, linebacker. Shamir Stewart, an edge rusher from Texas A&M to Seattle at 18. How do you like how this board's playing out so far? A lot of edge rushers, a lot of defensive linemen.
Yeah.
But, well,
we're at 18
both
right
receivers
now?
Off the board.
We're at 18?
We're at 19.
We're at 19. Tampa. And that's Tampa.
Tampa, Denver, Pittsburgh.
What's it cost to get there?
To get to 19.
Yeah, from
hold
30.
On. Oh, sorry, we're at 21.
21, hold even on. Better.
So, Mykel Williams, an edge rusher, went to Tampa,
okay.
Georgia. And then Amika Ogbuka,
okay.
receiver from Ohio State, goes to Denver. So, you want to know what it costs to get to 21?
I do.
All right. What do you want to give up? We're making an offer. We're calling Pittsburgh. Omar Khan. We're on the phone.
Let's see if we could get away with...
30's got to be involved. You're trading up,
30?
Right?
Was it 62? Is there
62 is their last second round
30,
pick.
62, and like a third next year.
So
could that get you there?
Before I even put the third in.
Yep.
PFF tells me when I put 30 and 62, the bar goes all the way up in green and says this trade will likely be accepted.
All right, well then put in like a sixth in return, even though I don't need another sixth round pick.
Or do you want to just do next year's third?
Try next year's. No, you're gonna need
that. It's 75% full and says this. Well, actually 80. It says this trade is an 80% chance to be accepted.
I don't think in reality anyone's moving up in this draft, moving back in this draft without draft picks.
Let me ask you. Okay, so where are the Bills here? You're sitting at 30, and here comes 21. The boards fell the way it has.
Yep.
Three receivers are off the board. A bunch of edge rushers. What are you trading up for?
Corner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here, I'm going to offer first, third next year, and the Bills' first fourth-round pick this year.
And this is for, to me, Siobhan Revelle from East Carolina. That's the move-up I'm looking at here.
Okay. I'm going to offer 30, 109, and next year's third.
Okay. That feels like a very cheap, but...
You want to throw a player in along the way?
No. It feels cheap, but if they're going to accept it, then let's take what they're going to give us here.
They are taking it.
Okay.
So we're on the clock now at 21.
Yeah, give me Siobhan Revale.
All right. Let me go to corner
East
here.
East Carolina.
They're going to give us an A on that, we think. So they have two corners ranked ahead of him.
Who do they got?
Trey Amos from Mississippi.
Okay.
And Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky. You still want to go Siobhan Revale?
Yeah, I still want Revale.
All right. We're drafting Siobhan Revale. And there he is. East Carolina. Bills take him at 21. We're going to like if they trade up for a corner.
Yeah.
If you keep your day two picks.
Say less.
We miss then Josh Simmons to tackle. Ohio State goes to L.A. Kelvin Banks tackled to Green Bay. There was a tackle run immediately after. There goes Kenneth Grant to Minnesota.
Yep.
Ooh, Omarion Hampton to Washington at number 29.
Whoa.
I like that.
They have Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler still.
Yeah.
That wouldn't make a lot of sense.
All right, so corner.
Yeah.
And trading up for a corner. They're probably... We got a D, by the way, for that pick.
Mm.
Because on the PFF big board, he's 43rd. But...
He's
we didn't
favorite.
Give up much to get it.
He's to me, he tops the second tier of corners right behind, you know, Hunter. And these are boundary corners.
Yeah.
See, like,
right.
Some of these corners that are listed ahead of him are going to play slot in the NFL. Like...
Yeah, in this mock, he was the two...
Like Barron.
The third corner off the board.
Jadae Barron from Texas, slot.
Yeah.
Maxwell Harrison, slot. Thomas from Florida State, slot. So to me... There's four worthy boundary corners you could take in the top 50 in this draft. It's Hunter, it's Will Johnson, it's Revale, and Amos. I really like Benjamin Morrison, too. I think he can be right up there.
Yeah.
The thing that I like about this kid from East Carolina is he's 6'2", long arms.
Yeah.
He can play press. He can play zone, ball hawk type of... Like, to me, he's got huge upside. That's... To me, that'd be a home run. I think it's like the perfect type of corner for Sean McDermott's defense on the other side of Christian Benford.
803-0550 is the phone number. Sean in Buffalo wants to get in on trading up. What's up, Sean?
Really quick, I just want to know if this works. Thanks, guys. The Bills offer James Cook in a sign and trade. This year's first, one of the seconds, and next year's first. Does that get them in the top 10 this year?
Who are you trying to get, Travis Hunter? Let's see.
Read my mind, right? I mean, I would take anybody. If Bean pulled that off, I would take anybody they picked, and I would just trust. I would, like, trust in the process kind of thing. But, I mean, is that does that make sense to
the Raiders
AI?
Do that?
You want to trade? I'll put it in for you. 30? You want to trade the first round pick, 30th?
Yep. Next year's first, if necessary, and then the second round pick, one of them from this year.
And then James Cook.
And a sign and trade, yeah.
Okay. You can put players into this, so I'm putting James Cook in.
Would the Raiders do that?
Somebody would.
I offered it to Carolina. It says it will likely be accepted.
Would Tennessee take? I think Tennessee would take that deal because they love to run the ball.
No, they won't move back out of one, though. I don't think there's a way they could get to one.
Okay, so here, this is interesting how PFF, I'm sure they work off one of the value charts for this. I don't know, they must assign a value to Cook. If you put the trade in for the Giants at number 3, Pro Football Focus says it has a 32% chance of being accepted. But when I offer it to New England, it says this trade will likely be accepted. It's almost all the way up. So
New England pick?
4.
Oh my gosh. All right, that's what I needed to hear. That's all what right. I need. Now hope springs eternal. Thank you guys.
Thanks, Sean. In reality though, I think they're probably giving a little credit, too much credit to some of these picks. I don't think that is even if the Bills wanted to be would you call that reckless? I might call it reckless. The amount they would be giving up, but whatever, sometimes reckless is good. You want to be reckless and give up 2 firsts, a second, and your running back to go to 4. I don't think New England is saying yes to that.
New England
in any real world.
New England wouldn't trade with the
I don't think anybody is moving down to 30 for almost anything.
And I would tell you New England wouldn't do that, especially because they're salty at the Bills for last year's draft. Not trading with them and trading with Kansas City.
Maybe they wanted the pick where Carolina was.
Yeah, they're salty.
They wanted a receiver. They probably wanted Legette. Yeah. I think was the thing or the story.
So
they're not moving. Listen, it's fun to think about. It's fun to dream about. If Travis Hunter was a Bill, I love it for content purposes and because he's amazing. They're not getting them. They're not getting anywhere near the top 10. And you know, you moved up 9 spots in this.
Yes.
That's one thing. Last year, I became obsessed with the idea of getting into the top 10 for one of the big 3 receivers.
Yeah.
There's not an idea to me this year that screams out, oh, I got to go give up everything to get into the top 10.
Yeah.
Unless you want, like you did it for a corner. The next tier up corner, like you want to do that for Will Johnson out of Michigan? You want to give up multiple first round picks to go get a corner in the top 10?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not into that idea.
I'd be willing to give up one of the seconds and a move up in the first round.
Yep. It's I don't know. They probably will trade up because they often do trade up. But I'm not seeing the idea that screams out to me, you know,
go get him.
Yeah. It would be an edge rusher. And I'm not getting Abdul Carter. So, you know, I'm at the next level of what, Jihad Campbell from Alabama or one of these guys. You know, there's an idea for you. I would at that point just rather sit at 30, make a smaller move up to like 25 and do that instead. But good question. 803-0550 is the phone number. The draft is under 1 month away. The quarterback carousel is a little bit more set in place now that the Giants have Russell Wilson, which means the Browns won't get Russell Wilson, which means that the Steelers are going to get Aaron Rodgers unless he retires, and then unless they'll be nowhere. So there is still a little bit to be figured out, but we're almost there on figuring out who all the quarterbacks are going to be going into the start of the season. When we come back, we will check in with the bullpen. After this, you're on WGR.
Jimmy Vaughn.
My Vaughn?
I know we haven't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
Good morning to the chat on YouTube. The chat we're treating now as a character on the show.
No. See, that's why I love it. We don't even have to mention a guy and just bam, everyone's fist fighting in the chat.
The chat is like, you know, you look out in your backyard and you see, like, what are the dogs doing out there? And you just find out, like, they're after something.
All right, let's check in on the bullpen. We go back about an hour, and they were aggressively arguing about how tall we both are, trying to figure it out. Someone threw 6'7" was being thrown around.
For whom?
For you, I think.
If I was 6'7", guys, I would not be here.
Yeah.
Be playing professional basketball in Europe.
So what they did, though, what the bullpen has done is they went out and found it out.
Mm.
And I guess you can find both of our heights on the internet because you've got your Buff State page.
I'm going to tell you, the weight is no longer correct on that.
And I guess I'm listed at 5'8", 160 on Max Preps. No stats next to it.
Max
clearly,
Preps.
But Max Preps.
You're on Max Preps.
I guess. There's a profile pictureless page that just says DB... 5'8", 160. So they were doing that. The chat wants Derek Harmon from Oregon.
Okay.
Defensive lineman. You like him? He would be around 30, wouldn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Around the 30th pick. Criticized for zero mulch knowledge on our show.
Okay.
That might have been before though Josh stepped up.
Yeah, I mean Josh really stepped in. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody called your boy from who's the corner from East Carolina again that we just picked?
Rebel.
Someone said he's Elam 2.0.
Hmm.
How do you feel about that criticism?
I wish Elam was 6'2 with long arms.
Isn't Elam 6'2 with long arms?
I don't think so. I think he's a 6-footer.
That's how...
I don't think he was a real big guy with long arms, no.
Kyrie Elam was listed at 6'1", 191.
Yeah, I don't think he had the arms. The wingspan. Yeah, this guy's more like... Who's the kid from Seattle that I always forget that was drafted in like the Woolen.
Tariq Woolen. The guy that got more Woolen. The guy that Keon Coleman bodied in for a whole game.
Yes.
Yeah. Elam also had elite speed. That was one reason why he got drafted. There was a Zach Jones sighting on the stream. They were very excited about that, wearing his Texas hat back there. We were just talking about Isaiah Bond and Matthew Golden in the break a little bit, which I don't know if Golden is even going to make it to the Bills. I kind of think they're going to draft Isaiah Bond.
I think so, too.
He is often mocked in the second round. This is the guy, smaller, speedy receiver. This is the guy that said at the combine he was going to break the 40-yard dash record and then didn't even come anywhere near it.
Yeah.
4.43 maybe he ran?
I think he ran a 4.35 yesterday at the pro day.
Okay, so that's faster.
Yeah.
But still not the record.
Nope.
Or close to it. Didn't have a lot of stats at college. But he said he met with the Bills at the combine, and Ryan Talbot tweeted overnight and wrote a story that Bond is visiting with the Bills. One of their top 30 visits. So I'm thinking about him a lot for round two.
Same.
Completely fits what they're talking about, too. They've been talking about down the field, and he fits that skill set. Will he make it to the end of the second round is a good question, though, because he might be more of an early, middle second round guy. But we know Bean likes to trade up. So moving up 10 spots in round two, giving up a fourth to do it, is going to be in their wheelhouse, 100%.
You know how frustrating it is to be having this conversation about Isaiah Bond?
Just in general? Why about Isaiah Bond?
Because it just makes me think that...
It's a receiver train, baby.
Why didn't they just draft Worthy?
It's... Right.
I don't even want to... Like, having this conversation about Isaiah Bond when they could have had Worthy last year.
Yeah.
There
have been times
a little revisionist
where I've been annoyed.
That would be annoying.
At the Chiefs trade conversation.
Yeah.
And I have a strong opinion about that. Like, I would not have traded with them.
Me either. Yep.
But that conversation has completely overshadowed the simple question of why didn't they just pick Worthy?
Yeah.
Worthy has said that someone at the Bills, when he was on the visit, made it known to him like they were going to draft him. Like he thought they were, if he was there, the Bills made it seem to him, the Bills, one person maybe, but that he had the impression that if he was there, the Bills were taking him. And then he was there and they traded him.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And that is a good question because it is kind of, to me, what they needed. They needed downfield speed. Did they think, though, he was more of a gadget guy, horizontal plays, than somebody that was going to stretch the field vertically? Did they not want him because of the blocking? Did they actually like him, but thought, we've got four receivers in the same tier, we don't care which one we get? To me, like I would have been going more specialized than that, though.
I think if they liked him, there's no way they would have given the Chiefs an opportunity to draft him.
Or did they think he would fall? Did they think the Chiefs wouldn't take him? Bean said after the draft last year that he knew, or he thought he knew that they wanted a receiver, but he didn't know which one. So was he trying to play guess the prospect a little bit with which receiver that the Chiefs wanted? They could have wanted Coleman.
They could, yeah.
For maybe, all he knew.
Yeah.
But it was Worthy. Yeah. So I get that, though. That's why I want Bond, is I want that type of skill set, a Worthy type of skill set. I might not need to do it in round one this year because I acknowledge their need to add some studs on defense. But I would like to see one of those second-round picks go to that need. I got yelled at a little bit on Twitter yesterday for this about the idea of the Bills and regression on offense. I don't expect the Bills to regress overall as a team. Part of why I want to see them get the speed receiver and the regression conversation for me is about they just had no negative plays last year and no turnovers, no fumbles, didn't throw interceptions, and that's going to come back to earth a little bit. They might still even be best in the league at it, but to be historically great at it again is going to be near impossible, I think. So where do you make up for that? You want to still be a top three offense in the league, and you're going to have a few more negative plays because it's just hard to replicate what you just did. Where do I make up for that? How about the fact that Josh Allen threw the third most deep balls in the league last year, and they were terrible at it?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want them to see them grab Isaiah Bond. It's to offset the probable regression of more turnovers next year and not getting amazing drive starts like they did. That's why I want to see them draft Bond. Golden would be nice, too. I'm just not as desperate to see them do it with their first pick like I was last year. Last year, it had to be the first pick. And this year, if they drafted Golden and he was sitting there, or even they moved up a couple spots, I'm going to be very excited about that. I mean, he's a better prospect than Bond is, right? He's more production, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But do I need to do that at 30, or can I wait for the other Texas receiver in the second round?
That's what I would rather do. But, I mean, you have to ask the question, you know, Bond's probably going to play out of the slot.
Is he? I've not looked at that. Like, where he lined up at Texas? I'm not sure. Does Zach know? Zach's in there where the Longhorns at. Where does Bond line up?
Outside.
Slot guy?
He's outside guy.
Outside. There you go.
Interesting.
Perfect. I'm in.
He is 5'11". He's bigger than I thought.
He's thinner, though, right?
He's a 180.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm excited for the draft. I think I'm more excited for the non-Bill storylines, though, than I am this year for the Bills themselves. Because, again, the Bills could do almost anything at 30 and be like, okay, fine, unless it's like a linebacker.
I bet you...
Or running back.
I bet you Bond goes higher than we think.
Because someone falls in love with speed? Teams do fall in love with speed a lot. It's never the Bills.
I fall in love with speed.
It's never the Bills. Yeah. The Bills never... They talk about liking speed, but... One reason why they don't have any right now is exactly what Brandon Bean said this offseason, which is, I'd love to have speed. They got to be a good football player first. They kind of got to all be ready-made, and then the speed is kind of a secondary part of it, is how it sounds. And that's how their actions speak. Whereas... Yeah, that might be a fine way to go about it, but there are other teams that don't think that way. There are other teams that are going to say, we're going to take the raw speed, we're going to mold the football player, and that team's always going to get the speed guy before you do because they prioritize it more.
They also have not really shown the ability to develop a receiver.
Ooh, when's the last receiver they developed?
Gabe Davis, I guess, would be the guy that they developed.
Yep.
But they deemed not good enough to give to a second contract.
True.
So.
Oh, Shakir.
Okay.
Shakir. Yeah. Shakir's an example of this. All right, played a third of the snaps year one, did nothing, 10 passes, right? And then to now where he did get a second contract. So they did it with Shakir.
Yep.
803-0550.
They're going to need to do it with Keon Coleman.
They are going to, and that's, you know, a different type of development, right? Shakir, you can focus more on, you know, getting the ball in his hands and manufacturing touches. Coleman's going to have to learn how to run routes, right? He's going to have to learn how to run routes.
Yeah.
He can't just run straight and not be open and catch jump balls. That he will not be an effective player in the NFL if that's all he can do.
That's a fact.
And yeah, I actually do think he can do other things. I like him with the ball in his hands. Some of those yak plays, screens. I wish that final screen to Amari Cooper was Keon Coleman.
Yeah, me too.
But he's got to be able to run routes. CJ in Buffalo's next. What's up, CJ?
Hey, guys. Hey, I know you guys are talking about wide receiver, and I'd be fine with around a wide receiver day two, but maybe late day two, but early I would really love Grant to be there for us because we've seen Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean usually draft size, like the size traits, not like speed. We've never seen him like really draft speed for Josh Allen. We don't really go offense. I think I'd rather have a dominant defense with the same offense we had last year for the most part, but I need size up there to at least compete with teams like the Ravens that want to run the ball with size. We need a big guy up front to help out Ed Oliver or Bosa to keep them from getting double-teamed. That's just my thoughts. That's just where I'm looking at. I really think we'll go defense early, and consist with them first three picks, I'm thinking defense.
All right. Thanks, CJ, for the call. It kind of that leads me to a good question that maybe we can get into more tomorrow, which is if the Bills think the same way I do, and they're smart. I feel like they probably do. I think they would know we're going to have a few more turnovers next year. So where are we going to improve?
Yeah.
To maintain the level of offense we just had, where we set the franchise record in points. How are we going to do that again? I'm talking about a draft pick and an external acquisition right now. Is that how they're thinking? Or are they going to be trusting that improvement to Coleman and Kincaid?
It would be purely sabery to do that.
They have talked a little critically of those two.
They have.
They've multiple times talked about how Kincaid's got to get stronger.
Probably the most critical I've seen them be of a player in public.
Yeah. Young players, too.
Yes.
They've talked about Kincaid needing to get stronger, and they've talked about Coleman and how they were kind of let down after the injury. How much are they going to trust the spots the offense improves are those two, to Coleman and Kincaid? Or will they bring in plan Bs or just other types of skill sets from those two?
It is odd to me how little, just based on actions, they seem to value speed.
Yeah.
They value relative athletic score.
Yes,
that's
they do.
Part of it.
Yes, they do.
But at no point have they decided that we're going to pick a player based on speed and we think we can figure the rest out.
And listen, so far, and probably going forward, this is part about how good Allen is, it's worked.
Mm-hmm.
They've had great offenses and they have not needed to do that. It's just, I always wonder if there's another gear there, because this quarterback, even last year with a career low in average depth of target, was still third in the league in deep ball attempts. We know what he wants to chuck it.
Yeah.
And you gotta, if he's gonna do it anyway, give him somebody that's running behind the defense. And that's the guy they really haven't had. So it's not even like if they don't draft Isaiah Bond or Matthew Golden or a speed receiver and they walk into the season right now with the receivers they have, I'm still expecting the Bills to have one of the better offenses in football.
Me too.
But for me, it's always about where do you set the bar for the Bills? Are you okay with them being fifth? Because fifth is great. I want them to be number one because I know they're capable of being number one in the league. And to do that, I think you just got to have that one. It's the only element they're missing. They can run the ball. They can block. They don't take sacks. They're great with yards after catch. It's a chase to be perfect on offense. And they're near perfect. But the thing they are still missing is the downfield passing game.
Yep.
And it's the only thing. Again, you might want more out of Kincaid.
The best downfield threat they've had in Josh Allen's career is John Brown.
And Davis.
John Brown was a better deep threat.
He was, but Davis was pretty good.
He was sneaky good at it because
he wasn't a burner.
John Brown was their one true speed guy.
Right. He was a traditional, what was his 40 time? Like a 4.2 something?
Yeah,
4.28?
He ran a pretty fast time in college.
Yeah, and then Davis was pretty good at it, but he wasn't a natural burner, so it was a little harder, I think, for him to maintain it. 803-0550, we'll wrap things up. Extendo Sports on the way here in WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Extendo Sports. The TGL Championship last night, game two of the finals. See Billy Horschel's reaction to making a punt? It's like he won the Masters. He threw his club.
Yeah.
Electric. You know, you could think
that
like
was electric.
Yeah. You could think like, oh, what do these guys say? They really care this much about it? Because I saw a couple tweets about that. Like, why do these guys care so much? You go play golf on a simulator,
mm-hmm.
and then, yesterday just playing with my buddies. Like, we're playing a match, and it gets you care about it down the stretch. Now put 1,000 people around you watching it with music and lights. And tell me if you made a putt like that, you wouldn't go nuts.
I would 100%. I would go nuts like that on 17 on a Saturday afternoon. Let's be
right.
real.
I went nuts. This is funny about simulator golf. You get on the green, and then you can do it a couple different ways. We do like the randomized putting,
mm-hmm.
where it like sets odds.
Yeah,
we do fixed.
So you have to get inside the 10 foot window.
See,
yeah.
I do like the randomization a little bit because it can create fun moments. So I'm like 12 feet away, and I need it to be a one putt, and I'm not gonna know until it flashes on the screen. Then bam, it comes up. So anyways, TGL. I think there's one more game, though. Game three. Tomorrow is baseball. How are your Royals doing this year?
We'll see. You know, they retained some good talent. Seth Lugo's, I think, going to be their opening day starter. They got Bobby Baseball. So.
I only know that name from the Howard rant about the Mets. What was the name even you just said?
Seth Lugo.
Seth Lugo. I only know that name because that's when Howard ranted about... see, this is where I gotta refresh. You hit the refresh button on all my baseball. Edwin Diaz.
Ah, yes.
Before Edwin Diaz was actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Lugo. The Royals over-under this year is...
80? 80 and a half?
Let's see.
Something
I got
like that?
I got my under Rockies bet. The Royals over-under is 83 and a half. That's pretty good.
Made the playoffs last year.
Oh, like, White Sox, 53 and a half.
Yeah, they're bad. I think I saw... There are two teams in Major League Baseball right now. It's the Miami Marlins and the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
That their entire organization's payroll is less than Shohei Ohtani's contract.
Wow. And the Marlins, how much of that money is Sandy Alcantara, who he's their ace? And
quite a bit.
I was reading or hearing yesterday that their plan is they're going to play him for a month to show everybody he's healthy, and then they're going to trade him. So
there needs to be the less talk about salary cap in baseball and more talk about salary floor in baseball.
Yeah, honestly.
Force these damn owners who are making hundreds of millions of dollars to spend their money.
Yep. All right. I'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday. Sabres be back in action against the Penguins. See if we get any more football news between now and then. You had the Diggs news and the Russell Wilson news last night. We'll talk about a little of that and more with Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt coming up at the North Automotive Extra Point Show when we come back. Derek Kramer, too, right. Sorry. Derek in there with his Purdue hockey jersey. How can I not notice the Purdue hockey jersey?
Seriously.
It's a sweet jersey. Stay tuned.